Good morning, church. So we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and this morning I'm going to be speaking about faithfulness. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control." And as I was preparing for this morning, my thoughts went to the fruit of the Spirit. And many times we say that without acknowledging that the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. When each of us receive Christ, Christ put a seed down on the inside of us. That seed we know is his word. And that seed was meant to grow. But just like any seed, there are ingredients, there are certain things that have to happen in order for it to grow. The word of God is that seed, and those attributes, those ways, those things that make Christ Christ are the things that have to come forward from that seed. They have to come forward from that seed. We expect it to mature. We expect it to bring something tangible. All of that, again, is growing on the inside of us. God didn't leave anything for us to figure out. He didn't leave anything for us to... There was no ambiguity when he placed his word on the inside of us, when he placed his seed on the inside of us. He had an expectation, he had an intention that this thing has to do what I said it has to do. But then that puts on us a certain responsibility, the responsibility for us to draw near to God, to allow our desire to be near to him and his desire to be near to us, to do that thing again that has to happen for something to grow, for that seed that he put on the inside of us to grow. We serve a faithful God. We can all think back to some point in time in our lives where we had to be faithful, where we wanted to be faithful, probably more appropriately. And the tenacity and the inability to allow that thing that we were going to be faithful to fall by the wayside. There are lengths that we went through. There are things that came in our way that we figured out a way to get around or to get over. And we have to remember that faithfulness is, while it's a fruit of the Spirit, I'm going to get into the specifics about it, is something really, really special as one of the fruits of the Spirit. God desires for us to emulate him. That seed that he put on the inside of us, that seed is supposed to bring forth a Christ-likeness. Okay? It's not put inside of us for us to use as our sort of our barometer or our, you know, what we look at to decide whether or not we're doing a good job. Many of us live by a rule of thumb that we're good people. It's not enough. 1 Corinthians 11 and 1 says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Paul said that. And what he's saying is, be Christ-like, like I'm Christ-like. That's the expectation. Christ-likeness is first and foremost love for God and for others. We've got to love each other if we're going to be Christ-like. We can start right there. He first loved us. And if we're going to be Christ-like, we have to love each other. However, we must remember that there is an entity, if you will, a spirit that runs contrary to what God wants for us. And we understand that we live in a fallen world and we live in a world where there is an enemy. And Bert mentioned it a little bit earlier. And this is what's so fascinating and so beautiful and wonderful about God's word is that God said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Every one of the fruits of the Spirit, the enemy is actively setting out to quench. He doesn't want to see the growth. He doesn't want to see that thing that God put on the inside of us come to fruition. And so before we could even get started, when we accept Christ into our life, Christ put that seed into us. That Holy Spirit on the inside of us, okay? And the devil comes to steal it, to kill it, to destroy it. He doesn't want to see it do what it's supposed to do. And so we march around through our daily lives and we understand that we are supposed to be loving and we're supposed to be kind and we're supposed to have joy and we're supposed to be at peace and we're supposed to be gentle and we're supposed to be patient and we're supposed to have faith or faithfulness. But do we? Do we exhibit? Do we really show what God intended for us to show? Are we walking through this earth by what power? We have to guard our crops. You know, I was thinking a long time ago about the fruit of the Spirit, and it always came to me how you can have a big fruit platter with all different kinds of fruit, and it looks so good, pineapples and strawberries, and well, bananas, okay. Grapes, kiwi, all of that. But then you think about that platter, and you walk by it, and you just got to, at least I know I just got to get some. I might not even be hungry. I'm just greedy. I just got to get some of that fruit because it looks so good. But I recall a time where there was a fruit platter and I saw a piece of fruit on that fruit platter that had some mold on it. I didn't want any of it. Just think about that for a second. We as Christians here at Council Tree, we get it. We know that we're supposed to do, we're supposed to exhibit the traits, the fruits of the Spirit. And we can do it, so we think. We want to do it our way, however. I'm going to be patient today. I'm going to be kind today. I'm going to be gentle today. I'm going to be a fresh fruit salad for the Lord today. I'm going to be what God wants me to be in this situation today. I'm going to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. But what ends up happening is that I'm patient in this one event. I'm kind to this person. I'm joyful in this service. I'm a sweet soul to him and I'm a sweet soul to her. I'm a sweet soul to them. But not to all of them. What if God was like that with us? That seed that he put on the inside of us that was intended to be consistent, that we could draw from faith and faithfulness. He's never let us down. He's never let us hang out to dry. He is the same. He's been the same. He's always the same. The things he did way back when, he's able to do them today. If we just look at it contextually. The fruit of the Spirit that we exhibit many times comes from a place of, for lack of a better word, fakeness. We act wishy-washy. We act funny acting. This Sunday we're speaking. This next Sunday we're not. This Sunday we're smiling. Next Sunday we're not. We're a certain way this morning and we have to evening service and we're a different kind of a way. This type of things happens. And we might say, well, why are you judging? The Bible says for us to judge righteously. But then there's faithfulness. Faithfulness, that fruit of the Spirit. The thing that I understand and that I read about faithfulness is that faithfulness is about an element of time. I mentioned earlier that we can be kind in a particular situation. We can be peaceful in a particular situation. But faithfulness is something that has to happen on a continuum. It's in order to say you exhibit the fruit of the Spirit that is faithfulness, that's because there has been a consistent, deliberate process that is ongoing in your life. Faithfulness shows devotion. It shows that we want to be the same today. We're going to be the same next week. And when I think about Diane Borden, that's how she was to me. Every time I saw her, she was smiling. Every time. Every time I interacted with her, there was just something bubbly on the inside with her. So much so till, you know, we all know about the fruit of the Spirit and all of that, that there was one time when I thought, nobody could be that happy all the time, you know. But she was like that, and I'm sure many of you have that testimony for her life as well. And Mike the same. I didn't have as much interaction with him, but he was always kind. He was always sweet. He was someone that, you know, you wanted to, you felt okay being around. You felt okay interacting with because you knew each time you saw him or her that it was going to be the same. There's something about that sameness which is God, that sameness which is faithfulness. It's an attribute that we can't always say that we exhibit, and myself included. But we all know where we stand, and I'm just here this morning to give us some things to think about as God gave them to me. Sometimes when we are faithful, when we exhibit that fruit of faithfulness, we do it with the thinking that because we have been faithful, then certain things should go a certain way in our lives. That a certain, we should expect a certain type of result because of our faithfulness. Remember, that seed that God put on the side of inside of us, it has a job to do. And the job will not get done unless we do our responsibility. Okay? Without expecting anything. God doesn't have to do anything for us to be faithful. Again, we can be kind today and we can be unkind tomorrow. And you can't pick and choose which of the fruit of the Spirit that you are going to hang your hat on. It's all or nothing. Faithfulness endures. Even in this fallen and sinful world, it endures. When I think back to the Old Testament and the New Testament, there are plenty of examples of men and women who were very, extremely faithful. They were faith warriors. You think about Moses and how faithful he was dealing with those people for all those years, moaning and complaining and groaning about this or about that. Yet he stayed faithful. And he didn't even get the opportunity to experience the fullness of what God had for him or for them. But he stayed faithful. When you think about Paul, went through a lot, endured a lot, but he stayed faithful. The true identity of a true Christian is a Christian is someone who is going to stay faithful in the ups and the downs. It's going to be the same all the time. Have something on the inside that's able to say, you know what? But God. But God. We all have gone through situations and circumstances. We've been exposed to things that would give us, we think, the right to be like, I don't need this. This isn't it. God has given us all, or we think, or we can say, God has given us a reason to go inside ourselves or to push away from what he is doing or wants to do in our lives. But where are you going to go? I've had those times in my life where I was like, why? You get so angry and so mad. It's like, why? What? And then immediately, it's like, and I know it's the Holy Spirit, what you going to do? Where are you going to go? Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters? I mean, what you going to do, you know? And it should be able to snap us back into the reality is that we don't have anything unless we have God. And God has to be a staple in our lives. When I say God, I'm speaking specifically about the Holy Spirit. How many of you know they're one? We come up with a lot of reasons why we are the way we are, or we do what we do. We come up with our justifications and our validations for our behaviors. When we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, what does your fruit look like today? What did it look like last week? What's it going to look like tomorrow? And we all know the type of people that we are. If you are this way today, and tomorrow you go into work and you're another way, and that's probably because, and here's our validation or our justification, because this person doesn't deserve this from me. We have this at our jobs, or am I the only one? The fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness, is for us. Not for us to change somebody, but for us not to change. For those of us that really, really have it. It's for us not to change. That's where God gets the glory. He gets the glory in us loving what we consider to be the unlovables. Am I the only one who knows or thinks that there are some unlovables? You know, our flesh would say that this person doesn't deserve, and not in those words, but in our the way we are, I don't need to deal with that person because they got some stuff with them, and I'm not about that. But we have a responsibility to show what God would show. What would Jesus do? It's really cliche, but it's so true. What would Jesus do? If we're supposed to be Christ-like, if we're supposed to live a life that's pleasing in his sight, then we're supposed to always be thinking, how would he handle this? What would he do if he were here? How would he see that person? And then we're supposed to emulate that. There is no two ways about it. We're supposed to do that. And always go back to the Holy Spirit. We say it, we say his name so often in our church services, the Holy Spirit this, the Holy Spirit that. He is more than just a name. The Holy Spirit feels, he thinks, he wills, he desires, He is a person. He wants to fellowship with us. He wants us to fellowship with him. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to express those things to him that we can't express to anybody else. We have things, all of us have things that we don't even want to talk to our pastor about. But if you have, or you're acknowledging the Holy Spirit, then you ought to be talking to him on a daily basis. Because he's a person. It's more than just a song. He's a person. He has the capacity to love. Like we have the capacity to love. And he does it perfectly. And he wants to make that seed, which is the word of God, evolve in us in such a way that we are loving just like him. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what empowers us to live a life that's pleasing unto God. The Holy Spirit. God gave him to us. How much attention do we pay to him? How much validation do we give to him being an active part of our life? And not just someone that's sitting on the sidelines, or to some of us, something that's sitting on the sidelines, but it's someone who wants the very best for us. He has all of this power that he wants us to access. But we have to seek him out. We've got to ask. And it shall be given. And not wait. Wait for it to just come. It's there. What are we doing with it? What good is a strawberry patch? Okay, this is my little, you know. What good is a strawberry patch if you can't see the strawberries? What good is an apple tree if you don't see any apples on it? The seed that's on the inside of us is on the inside of us for a reason. It's supposed to be seen. We're supposed to be able to experience each other's fruits. I'm supposed to be able to talk to you or to you or to sit down with you or you. And there is a kindred spirit there, a sweet spirit, something as appetizing as that fruit salad that makes me want to have some of that. But if we can't see it, it's not there. It's got to grow. It's got to come forth in order for us to utilize it. I may need to see your kindness. You may need to see mine. I might need to see how much joy you have. Because I know he's not a respecter of persons. That joy that you have, I can have access to that too. But if we don't see it, if we are not exhibiting the things that the Holy Spirit was given to us for our purposes of worship, if we're not seeing them in our worship services, then what? We are all familiar with one another to some extent. And we see each other and we smile. But what's really there? What's really on the inside? Who gets to see the fruit? Just the people in your small group? Who gets to see the joy, the peace, the happiness, the kindness, the gentleness, the faithfulness? That's supposed to be accessible to us all from us all. And that's how God would have it in his house, in his kingdom. grow. Our testimony has to be one of growth. It has to be one of results. If we're in a church for so many years, there needs to be something different about us this year than last year. There needs to be something different about us this year than 10 years ago. Some of us 20 years ago. Some of us 30 years ago, I even dare say. Something different. Something that those that come through the door want. If they get it this Sunday, they should be able to come back next Sunday and get it. And it should never be a situation where they're wondering, well, what happened? Faithfulness. It's a big thing. On our jobs, in our marriages, to our neighbors, to our community, to our children, to one another, to the person sitting behind you that you don't know, to the person sitting in front of you that you don't know. Faithfulness. Always the same. Some of you probably think, well, wow, that's kind of impossible. You know, I have a really good relationship with the Lord, and he gets me and I get him and we're good. And it may seem impossible, but there is a scripture, and there's always a scripture. Ephesians 3 and 20. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. The Holy Spirit on the inside of us is able to do everything that God would expect for us to do. Not a one of us excluded. If he gave us these fruits of the Spirit, then we should, our goal should be to exhibit them all. Nothing being left out. And he's saying that it's possible. That it's not only possible, that it's expected. That scripture is talking about the Holy Spirit. And we have to understand the Holy Spirit's role. He dwells in us. He sanctifies us. He cleanses us. He leads us. He guides us. He motivates us. He is the one, the person who gives it to us to pursue a holy and separated life. A holy life, a separated life. God could care less that you get up every Sunday, that we get up every Sunday, and some of us don't get up every Sunday to come to church. He could care less. It's not what it's about. It's about your heart. The Bible says that we have to hear the word of God. So where do we hear the word of God? Unless it's preached by the man of God. And so that's why we come. We come to fellowship. We come to hear what God is saying. Yes, he wants us in service. He wants us in every service. God would love that. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's standing right where he's always stood. And if we're not close to him, who moved? Think about the parable of the sower, Matthew 13 and 8. And I'm not going to go into all of it, but the long and short of it is that you reap what you sow. And part of the scripture goes like this. It says, but others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. We look at each other's lives and there are people that we say, wow, they really have it all together spiritually and they're really doing all that God would have them to do. But we feel like we're doing all that would have that God would have us to do. But then we look back to the fruits of the Spirit. And I think that many times we compromise. We compromise because we say, well, you know what? I am so loving. I'm a lovable person. But, oh God, please don't let me get caught at the railroad tracks. Because I don't have any patience for that. And so we compromise because we think that it's enough if I have the love piece, maybe even the gentleness piece, the kindness piece, those things that are that I can show to people that I want to show them to. I can show those fruit. But it's so much easier if the power that's on the inside of us is the one that's bringing forth those fruit that we can see and experience, as opposed to it being brought forth on our own. Because you can have patience, and if you're doing it on your own, you're eventually going to get to a place where your patience is going to run out. Because you only have but so much room stored up. How many of us know that the Holy Spirit has infinite power, infinite resources, the infinite ability to give us what we need, when we need it, for as long as we need it, to sustain us and sustain others that are looking at us. And so it's for us to use and utilize and aspire to exhibiting all the fruits of the Spirit, lest we compromise, and then we get to this scripture. But other fell onto good ground. Now, you exhibit five of them. Yes, I'm talking about you, Matt. And you exhibit all of them. I'm just saying. He exhibits five of them. But there's a couple that he's like, whatever, I got these five, I'm good. Okay. Well, the Bible says that he's on good ground. It's on good ground. But the blessing brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. I want everything God has for me. And because I compromise on not allowing the Holy Spirit to do the work that he needs to do so that I could bring forth this fruit that everyone can see that's ripe, that's good, that's sweet, and I don't need certain of the others, I'm compromising. And so I get my reward. And we get 30-fold. If you're satisfied with 30-fold, then so be it. Take your 30-fold. Just think about that. Because that's, and I know firsthand, that's all we're going to get. 30-fold, 60-fold sometimes, 100-fold, depending. It's all on us. What do you want? Our Christian walk, folks, this faithfulness thing, the fruit of the Spirit, is something I think that we have to really, really hone in on. We've got to really, really exercise the Spirit that's on the inside of us, the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of us, and have some expectations. Remember, we're supposed to be Christ-like, and God has expectations. Christ has expectations. We ought to have expectations for ourselves. There ought to be something on the inside of us that says, I could be different. And I'm probably not different. You can always go to these fruits of the Spirit to test. It's the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit is that he'll tell you. He'll tell you where you're falling short. He'll let you know what you need to do, where you need to put focus. You might figure, you think, well, man, it's like juggling. You know, no, it's not like juggling. And if it is like juggling, guess who the best juggler is? We all have the ability to be what God wants us to be. What God wants us to be. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, the Bible tells us. So let's set that aside. Let's look at what God wants. What the Holy Spirit wants. We've got to be faithful. We've got to be faithful followers of Christ. And while we're being faithful, we've got to love. We've got to have joy. We've got to be at peace. Even when things are falling apart around us, there's a peace that passes all understanding. And if you're allowing the Holy Spirit to be who He is in your life, you'll be like, wow, I know. There have been times when I'm like, wow, I can't believe. I'm really cool with this situation when I should be like pulling my, well, no hair. But you get where I'm coming from. That only comes from the Holy Spirit. And we should want our Lord to say to us, like it was said in Matthew, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, we come to you this morning to thank you for life, health, and strength. To thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be with you. Lord, we don't have it all figured out, Lord, but you do. And you know us. Help us to get to know ourselves. In the spirit of realness, in the spirit of what you created us to be, and not what we have framed to be okay. Speak to us, Lord God, in our quiet moments this week. Let your Spirit do a new work on the inside of us, Lord. Let your Spirit begin to work on some others of us, Lord. And let your Spirit continue to sustain us, Lord. The resources are plentiful. And we thank you for love. We thank you for peace. We thank you for one another. We thank you for giving us one another. And Lord, we look forward to the day where all the gifts of your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, are operating in this place, where sickness is healed by your Spirit, where counseling is had by your Spirit, where help is found by your Spirit. We thank you, Father. Have your way in us this day. We'll forever give your name the praise, the honor, and the glory. For you are matchless. You are wonderful. And in Jesus' name we pray and we ask all these things. Thank God. Amen.